Again, thank you everyone for joining Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are really fortunate to have His Grace Sukumar Gaurav Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam 6.16.42 onwards. So before I hand over the call to Prabhuji, I would like to hand over the call to Tiffany Mataji for the brief introduction. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So this morning, we're so very fortunate to have with us His Grace Sukumar Gaurav Prabhuji. Prabhuji was born in Maharashtra, India in 1980, brought up in a social background where spirituality was often questioned. He developed a natural taste for inquiry into the mysteries of God's creation. Prabhuji passed College of Engineering Pune in Mechanical Engineering in 2003, and he came in touch with the devotees of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in 2003 and found all his questions answered in the books of Srila Prabhupada. As a MBA student of finance, he studied Srila Prabhupada's books and became a sincere practitioner. He joined the NCDEX in Mumbai as assistant manager and worked for 3 years. Later, he took a 2-year brahmachari training course at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in Mumbai and was initiated into the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in 2010. Sukumar Gaurav Prabhuji wanted to share his joy for Krishna consciousness with youth, so he gave up his job and began serving in the youth preaching department. He joined ISKCON Chaupati as a resident in 2009, and later he was posted in the ISKCON Nasik Temple. He is serving as a youth counselor in various colleges in Nasik. He conducts seminars on personality development topics in educational and corporate sectors. Welcome to the call, Prabhuji. It's so lovely to have you take your association again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for that brief introduction. Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhuji. And I was pranam for giving your valuable association and time in this call. We are really fortunate to have you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. And
just give me one minute.
Yes, Prabhuji. Sure.
Am I audible? Nothing.
Yes, Prabhu, sir. Yes.
ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणि जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, and text number 42. Yeah, thank you. So here is the shloka. Ka kshemo nija parayo kyan vartha to paradruha dharmena padruhatvah kopa parasampidya cha tatha dharma. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here is the translation. How can a religious system that produces envy of one's self and others be beneficial for oneself or for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy? And by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a long purport. It will take some time. Any religious system, but the process of Bhagavat Dharma, service as an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a system of envy of one's own self and of others. For example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. Such animal sacrifices are inauspicious both for the performer and for the animal. Although one is sometimes permitted to sacrifice an animal for goddess Kali and eat it instead of purchasing meat from a slaughterhouse. Permission to eat meat after a sacrifice in presence of goddess Kali is not the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is simply a concession for a miserable person who will not give up eating meat. It is meant to restrict the desire for unrestricted meat eating. Such a religious system is condemned. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajyamam ekam sharanam vraja. Give up all other duties and surrender unto me. This is the last word in religion. One may argue that the sacrifice of animal is recommended in the Vedas. This recommendation, however, is a restriction. Without Vedic restriction on purchase of meat, people will purchase meat from the market, which will be overflooded with meat shops and slaughterhouses will increase. To restrict this, sometimes the Vedas say that one may eat meat after sacrificing an insignificant animal like goat before goddess Kali. In any case, a system of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended is inauspicious for those who perform the sacrifice and for the animal. Envious person who performs ostentatious animal sacrifice are condemned in Bhagavad Gita. Atma sambhavita stabdha dhanavana madanvita yajante nama yagyaste dambhena avidipurvakam. Self-complacent and always impudent, deluded by wealth and false prestige, they sometimes perform sacrifice in name only without following the rules and regulations. Sometimes animal sacrifices are performed very gorgeously with grand arrangements for the worship of goddess Kali, but such festivals, although performed in the name of yagya, are not actually yagya. For yagya means to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is recommended that in this age of Kali, yagya sankirtana prahi yajantihi sumedasa. Those who have good intelligence satisfy the yagya purusha by chanting the Hare Krishna. Envious persons, however, are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as follows. Ahankara valam darpa kama krodham samshrita mamatma paradeheshu pradvishanto avisuyata tanam dvishat kruran samsareshu naradhaman shipamya ajasram asubhan asurishva eva yunishu. Bewildered by the false ego, strength, pride, lust and anger, the demon become envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in his own body and in the bodies of others, and blaspheme against the real religion. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demonic species of life. These persons are condemned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as indicated by the word Tava Kopa. A person who commits murder is envious of himself and also the person he has killed. For the result of committing murder is that he will be arrested and hanged. If one transgresses the laws of man-made government, he may escape being killed by the state, but one cannot escape the laws of God. The killer of any animal must be killed in his next life by the same animal. This is law of nature. One must follow the instructions of the Supreme Lord. Sarva dharman parityajyamam ekam sharanam vraja. If one follows any other religious system of religion, he is subjected to punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in many different ways. Therefore, if one follows a concocted system of religion, he is envious not only of others, but also of himself. Consequently, his system of religion is useless. Srimad Bhagavat 1-8 says, धर्मस्वानुष्ठित पुंसः विश्वक्षेण कथासूय न उत्पादयेत् यदि रतिं श्रम एव हि केवलम्. ड्यूटीज एग्जीक्यूटेड बाय मेन रिगार्डलेस ऑफ ऑक्यूपेशन आर ओनली सो मच यूजलेस लेबर इफ दे डू नॉट प्रोवोक अट्रैक्शन फॉर द मैसेज ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. फॉलोइंग अ सिस्टम ऑफ रिलीजन दैट डजंट अवेकन वंस कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस और गॉड कॉन्शियसनेस इज मियरली अ वेस्ट ऑफ टाइम. हरे कृष्ण. सो वी वेलकम ऑल डिवोटीज फॉर दिस मॉर्निंग श्रीमद भागवतम क्लास. So grateful to each one of you for allowing me to make a presentation here on Srimad Bhagavatam. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, and this is text number 42. A very powerful shloka in itself with great details that Srila Prabhupada has covered in his purport. In the translation, Prabhupada is saying that how can a religious system that produces envy for oneself and for others. The religious practices which produce envy for oneself as well as for others, Prabhupada is saying that they are not at all beneficial, not only to the person, but also for the other party as well. And in the shloka, Prabhupada is saying, what is auspicious about such a system? It is absolutely inauspicious, neither for the practitioner nor for the other people who are with him. And there is nothing that can be gained from practice of such a system, religious system, because there is element of pain both for the person and the other party as well. So the pain is also for the practitioner as well as for other people. And such kind of religious practices arouse anger in the mind, in the heart of the Supreme Lord. Because the person is not actually following the order of the Supreme Lord. So here, self-envy means, in one sense, that the person is not focusing on his own spiritual progress. He is just following the religious practices for the sake of following without understanding the purpose of what the Supreme Lord is saying. So let's just have a recap and then we'll come back to the shloka again. So this section from 34 to 49 is where Chitraketu Maharaj offers his prayers to Lord Vishnu, Lord Sankarshan. In the 34th shloka forms the foundation of this entire section. 34th shloka has to be known very properly. And then the other shlokas will be in comparison or in line with this 34th shloka. So the 34th shloka mentions that the Lord and the devotees, they conquer each other. As such, the Lord is unconquerable. Unconquerable means the Lord cannot be conquered easily by any other spiritual practices, maybe tapasya or any other thing that the sadhaka is doing. Because Lord is Shad Aishwarya Purna. He is full in opulence. What is it that can attract the Lord's attention? Because neither are wealth, neither are beauty, neither are fame, neither are strength. Nothing can attract the Lord. What is it that the Lord gets attracted to is what is mentioned in the shloka. So here it is said that the Lord is not conquered by the jnanis or the yogis, but the Lord is easily conquered by the devotee. Now what makes the devotee special as compared to those jnanis and yogis? Simply three parameters are given which forms the foundation of this section. First is the devotees are samamatibhi. Samamatibhi means their mati, their intelligence is sama, is equal in happiness and distress. Happiness and distress doesn't affect them. Why? Because the understanding of a sadhaka is very clear. When the understanding is very clear, things don't affect to him in a to a greater extent. Second point, they say his mind is controlled. It is free of kama. And this calm, Prabhupada is writing, is the nature of the mind. So lust is very, very natural in the mind because it is a material element. Mind is also a material element and lust is also a material element. So he has controlled the mind and he has risen above the lust. Third, they are saying they are without material desires in their worship, and this forms the most critical parameter. And when a sadhaka has his worship, which is free from material desires, then the Lord is very easily attracted to that devotee. So So this devotees conquer the Lord by the above three parameters, and the Lord himself gives to that sadhaka or to that devotee who is free from material desires. And the Lord says that if somebody serves me alone, now here Prabhupada is speaking about bhakti in which we are not dedicating our life, our energy, our time, our resources to anybody else other than Lord Krishna. And second thing he is writing is that devotee doesn't even request for liberation or nothing else. Because the jnanis, they have desire for liberation, which is desire in itself. And that is why it doesn't attract the mind of the Lord. So this sadhaka, he doesn't even request the Lord that give me liberation, neither from pain or from suffering or from difficult situations. He says, you want to keep me in whatever situation, I am happy. And Prabhupada, in the sixth canto itself, when Vritrasur pastime, in this Vritrasur pastime, we see Prabhupada is mentioning when the demigods go and beg to the Supreme Lord that please protect us from Vritrasur. Very beautiful, Prabhupada writes. How can one instantly become a pure devotee? A very quick formula is given by Srila Prabhupada. And this is the event when the demigods, they go and fall at the feet of Lord Vishnu and say that we can't do anything about this Vritrasur and we are absolutely helpless. So first thing Prabhupada mentions is that helplessness attracts the Lord. And when we helplessly pray to the Lord listens. And the second request that the demigods make is, Marubi Rakubi Joicha Tomar. Prabhupada quotes this bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajan. And when that devotee comes in that mood, that whatever you feel is correct for me in this situation, I am ready to accept it. These two parameters immediately make that sadhaka, converts that sadhaka into a pure devotee. So that's the easiest way when these two things are there, and it's very easy for a sadhaka to become. And that's what's exactly in this 34th shloka it is mentioned. And the Lord says, he doesn't serve anybody else, exclusively me. And that is why Prabhupada is quoting 1866. 1866 Prabhupada quotes, and he's serving me day in and day out. And this attitude makes the Lord a debtor. Debtor means he feels that I am absolutely indebted and I can't repay this devotee for what he has been doing to me. So three things: serving Krishna alone, doesn't request even for liberation, he doesn't ask anything from the Lord, and he is serving as much as possible to the best of his capacity. This makes the Lord a debtor, and the Lord is easily purchased. And we have so many examples. Prahlad Maharaj, we have Pandavas, we have the Gopis, and the Lord is easily, they can easily purchase the Lord based on their seva. And the Lord hands over himself to this devotee. Now, what it means to give himself to the devotee? When the Lord is saying, I hand over, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very beautiful understanding for this. The Lord gives them object for their eyes, ears, nose, such as the Lord makes his beauty accessible, the Lord makes his voice accessible, the Lord makes his fragrance accessible. The devotees are able to access the Lord personally, and that is what it means to give himself to the devotee. The Lord makes himself accessible, and there is direct perception, not indirect perception. There is direct perception. We can see the Lord, we can hear the Lord, we can have the fragrance of the Lord, we can understand how he is. So making himself accessible to the devotee is what it means to give himself to the devotee. So the point is, there is no personal or hidden agenda while serving the Lord. The attitude is what attracts the attention of the Lord. Now, next shloka, 35th shloka. What stops the sadhaka from giving himself fully to the Lord? There is one word that comes in the 35th shloka, sparadhanti. That sadhaka, that jiva is feeling that Lord is my competitor. Now, why he thinks that the Lord is his competitor, sparadhanti? Because he thinks himself as separate from the Lord. And this is the foundational point which we'll be elaborating further. Excuse me. The 36th shloka, so this word that comes is prathak abhimati. Prathak abhimati means he starts seeing himself separate from the Lord. He says that I don't belong to the Lord, I am somebody different. And that is where he starts seeing the entire material creation as separate from the Lord. And he feels that it is for my enjoyment. 36th shloka, he glorifies that the Lord exists in all times. And in 37 shloka, he'll say that the Lord exists in all space, just like a child exists in the womb of the mother. Similarly, creation always exists within the Lord, just like a child exists. Now, from we saw that from 34 to 37, Chitraketu Maharaj has glorified the Lord. Now, from 37 onwards, he will glorify the devotees as well. But before glorifying the devotees, he makes it very clear to take on target the non-devotees. He absolutely criticizes the non-devotees. Now, we may feel that Vritrasura is such a pure devotee, and how come he criticizes devotees, non-devotees? Because even non-devotees are part of the Supreme Lord. Analogy is given, just like we have a diamond. When that diamond is kept on a dark background, the diamond or the diamond shines very brilliantly. Why? Because there is a contrast. The diamond is bright and the background is very dark. Same way, the dark background of criticism is used to show the difference between the devotee and non-devotee. To highlight the qualities of devotees, the dark background of non-devotees is used. That is what Vritrasura does in the two shlokas, 38 and 39. So, 38 shloka, he directly takes on charge against the worshipper of the demigods. He compares the demigod worshippers to animals. And now, why such a harsh word, animal? Because the word in the 38 shloka that is used for animals is Vishaya Trisha. Vishaya Trisha means they are eager. Their animals are eager or thirsty for sense enjoyment. And any person who is thirsty for or eager for sense enjoyment is none other than Narapashavaha. Vishaya Trisha Narapashavaha, man like animal. Now, Srila Prabhupada has used Trisha as thirst. Now, what is this thirst? Thirst is a sensation of dryness. Means it is a condition where we feel very thirsty or we feel that I need this thing. Just like Prabhupada always gives this simple example, but very powerful analogy to understand. We have sea water and we have sweet water. When we drink sea water, it aggravates thirst. But when we drink sweet water, it gradually or drastically reduces our thirst. When we drink sea water, it makes us more dissatisfied because that thirst is aggravated. But when we drink one glass of sweet water, it gives me a lot of satisfaction. And that's exact difference between functioning on the platform of sense enjoyment, which is like salt water, which aggravates my thirst. But as soon as I take to Krishna consciousness, serving the Supreme Lord, it's like that sweet water, which suddenly reduces my thirst for sense enjoyment. So the point is, give what the senses are demanding for. The senses are demanding for the real water of Krishna's beauty, because that is what will destroy his thirst for all times. And he will not need anything from the external sources. And that is why demigod worship only and only increases the thirst of this material existence and hankering for sense objects. And how far this can go? If you read the Puranas, there are n number of stories where demigod worshippers, the demigods themselves are highly dissatisfied. Just like we were going through the story from Shiv Puran, where it mentions the birth of Shani Dev, and we all know Shani Dev is a great devotee of the Supreme Lord, but at the same time he is born from Surya and his mother's name is Chaya. So what happens is, actually the real wife of sun god is Sanjana, and she is not able to bear the heat of the sun god. And so she thinks that I am not capable of serving him. So let me perform tapasya and I'll get more powers, and that is how I can handle this person's power. So she creates a body double of herself, and that is whom we call a Chaya. And she tells her, you stay here and you serve my husband. By then I'll perform tapasya and I'll get powers and then come back and serve him. And Chaya starts serving, but Chaya serves Suryadev so closely. By the intense heat, now Suryadev thinks that she is Sanjana. He unites with her, and now that Chaya is pregnant, but she's serving very closely. And when she's serving very closely, due to that intense sun rays, she starts tanning. Her body starts tanning. And not only her body tans, but the child within also gets affected. And when the child is born, we see that it's Shanidev. And when Suryadev, for the first time, in great enthusiasm, in great eagerness, he comes to see the child, he finds that the child absolutely doesn't match his color, neither his mother's color, neither his own color. And that is where he denies. He tells Chaya, this is not my child. Who is this? This is the same Suryadev whom Lord Krishna had chosen to give the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And in that great dissatisfaction, he leaves Chaya. Shanidev is left with his own mother. And when Shanidev comes to know, he's so pained. He's so pained that he says, nothing doing. I'll perform more tapasya than my father and I'll become superior to him. And he performs intense tapasya to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva asks what he wants. He says, give me the strength to punish all the sinful people. And when he gets the strength, what do you think he punishes? Whom does he punish first? He comes back to his own father. So this is the demigod worship. Forget about worshipper. Demigods themselves are having a tough time amongst themselves. How do you think that they'll be able to help those who worship them? That is why Vritrasura is using. And for Vritrasura, it's a first-hand experience with Indra. That is why he understands what a demigod is. For us, he may be a superhuman being. But for Vritrasura, it is very clear, it's all messed up life. Demigods may seemingly, we may feel that they are superior or they are powerful, but internally they are as weak as a general human being when it comes in time of crisis. That is why he's making a chance. At first, he gets a chance and he's bursting out, venting out his anger on all the demigods in the 37th shloka. And he's even more harsher in the 38th shloka. He says, those who take shelter of the demigods for fulfillment of their material desires are even more foolish. Because as soon as the demigod loses his power, whatever benedictions he has got will become absolutely useless. Now, let's compare, because diamond and the background is dark. Diamond is bright, background is dark. Now, he's comparing the demigod worshippers to the worshippers of the Supreme Lord. In the 39th shloka, he's saying, is a person who has material desire but worshipping the Supreme Lord, is he in a better position? He says, not better position, he is superior position. Kamadhiya, he has desires for sense enjoyment, but still he is approaching the Supreme Lord. And a very beautiful analogy is given by Srila Prabhupada. He says that Krishna is like fire and the material desires are like the seed. And any seed which comes in touch with fire loses its potency to fructify. That is how Krishna works. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a beautiful analogy. He says, if you take a sponge and dip that sponge in a well of juice, that sponge itself will become juicy. Similarly, a person who may carry material desires, but as soon as he comes in touch with Krishna, his entire existence changes. He becomes absolutely spiritualized. And when a person becomes spiritualized, what is the chances of his continuation of samsara? His samsara immediately breaks there. So the excellence of bhakti, even with material desire, is shown. The power of bhakti, even when the sadhaka is having huge amount of material desires, is shown. Then the next comparison will come, how powerfully bhakti will act when the sadhaka has no material desires. So that will come in the 41st shloka. Now, what does the devotee do? Which path will he take? Because already path of karma, jnana is all put in scrap by Vritrasura. Now, what path should a devotee take? 41st shloka. Then he says that 41st shloka, that the devotees accept the Bhagavata Dharma. Now, what is Bhagavata Dharma? Bhagavata Dharma is that dharma or that knowledge which is spoken by Bhagavan. That is why it is called Bhagavata Dharma. Exclusively spoken by the Lord. Now here, the best part of Bhagavad Dharma is given in the 41st shloka. He says that, my dear Lord, when you spoke the Bhagavad Dharma, now what is the Bhagavad Dharma? It is the uncontaminated religious system. Uncontaminated means what? First shloka. It is free from envy. The shloka which we started. So uncontaminated religious system is what? It is free from envy. We'll take this point again in the later part. Now, this uncontaminated religious system is best for achieving shelter of your lotus feet. And that is the victory. Now, why it is victory? Because that path is so clear. It is so clear that even if a person ties a blindfold and runs on this path, there are very, very less chances that he will fall. And that is how this path is so safely designed by the Lord. Now, the devotee is obliged to the Lord. Why? Because he's saying, you have given the best path. Why is he obliged? Because the Lord himself has given the path to reach him. That is the super mercy of the Lord. He himself is saying, you do this and you'll surely come back to me. So the person who has no material desires, like the Kumara, the self-satisfied sages, even they worship the Supreme Lord so that they can be free from whatever leftover contamination they have. So in other words, they accept the process of Bhagavad Dharma to achieve the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And the other comparison is given as compared to the path of demigod worship. In Bhakti Yoga, there is no conception of I, me, mine. Other than in other religions, it is superly me, I, me, mine, nothing else. So this Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga has this main prominence of not focusing on myself, but it is focusing on the Lord and his devotees. So we see here the Kamya Dharma is criticized because it is centered around I, me, mine. On the contrary, the Bhagavad Dharma is exclusive serving to the humanity, and that is why it is superior. There is no impurity in this. There is no hatred. There is no negation in that path. On the contrary, all other paths are subjected to destruction, and there is violence, because where there is prominence of me in the picture, just like we heard the story of Suryadev. Suryadev, he doesn't belong to me. Shani doesn't belong to me. Why? Because he doesn't look like me. Okay, when somebody belongs to you and you reject that person, it's violence. Because why? You are concerned about your own self. He doesn't look like me. Daksha was so concerned about himself, he felt Shiva doesn't look like all of us. He is not normal. Similarly, Suryadev felt Shani is not normal. He should look like me. He should be fair-skinned. He is absolutely tanned. He is not normal. And that rejection, see, pain of rejection is very severe. And Shani had to go. So just to have his normal make the standard, Shani had to go through the violence of Suryadev. And that is what Prabhupada is speaking here. Since violence is prominent when we don't follow Bhagavad Dharma, because it is based on I, me, mine. Okay. Now, the next shloka, the today's shloka for discussion, which we have taken, 42nd shloka, it speaks about the mentality of difference caused by hatred. Okay. This is mine. This is yours. I am this. You are that. He is my friend. He is my enemy. And that is what the 42nd shloka speaks about. Okay. So, the 42nd shloka will speak about the path which the Lord has not recommended. He said, this is not the path which I want devotees to take. Why? Because it is based on envy. Seemingly, envy is for others, but directly or indirectly, it is for the Supreme Lord. Why? Because we are not able to see that jiva and his opulence in connection to the Supreme Lord. Now, the question is, what is the benefit of thinking oneself and others' objects which are mine, such as son or wife or family or friends? Okay. Then Dhritarasura says there is no benefit. Why? Because by that there is violence to oneself and others. Because by performing any austerities, this is the translation of the shloka, Prabhupada is saying, because by performing austerities which inflict pains on one's body or other's body, we are committing violence. One becomes angry and sinful, and this arouses the anger of the Supreme Lord, Tava Kopa. So by following the path not recommended by the Lord, we are arousing the anger of the Lord. Okay, now. Now we have come to a platform where we understand that any religion which has envy towards other is not the path which the Supreme Lord has recommended. Bhakti is the path that Supreme Lord has envy. Now we'll come to the second section of this presentation. Now, rising above this I, me, mine level, the foundation is I, me, mine, thinking about myself only. So rising above this waves of anarthas or this lust exclusively, lust means I, me, mine, eventually takes us away from bhakti. Okay, because the prominence is not the Supreme Lord, it is me. Now this lust or the anarthas, the impression of lust or anarthas, when we start practicing bhakti, when we take to the path of bhakti, they gradually will settle down. It is for sure, they will gradually settle down. There is no doubt about that. Okay. Because just like lust, Prabhupada writes in his purport, is the dharma of the body. So lust is very natural for the body. But by fixing the mind on the lotus feet of Lord, we can rise above that. But the point is fixing mind on the lotus feet of Lord so easy? No. Rising above the lust at point may seem easy because the process is that powerful. But for fixing the mind on the lotus feet of Supreme Lord, I need practice. I need thorough practice. I need focused practice. That is what we call abhyas. And that is why in Gita, Krishna calls bhakti yoga abhyas yoga also. Because right now, bhakti is not natural for the soul. So we need to practice more of bhakti. And that is where it will become natural. And that is what we call as the second nature. And the early we start practicing, that is better. Why early? Because so that we can make bhakti not our second nature, our first nature. I want bhakti as more prominent than my other nature. Just like we see that most of the time devotees complain that I have been practicing for 10 years, 15 years. I still feel very angry. Why? Because even that anger has now become my first nature. It has become very natural for me. Whatever we practice more becomes our first nature. Also based on our previous life background. So we already have acquired a nature with us that is our primary nature. Okay, just like we took this example of anger. There may be so many other things that the devotees may be troubled. So to attain Krishna, Krishna has set the way that we have to follow. And that is the path of Ananya Bhakti. We will have to work on changing our first nature. First nature means what? That which comes very naturally. And somebody doesn't listen to me. It may be a family member. It may be a devotee from the community. I feel angered. Why? Because that has become my first nature. That has become my practice. That is where practice comes into picture. Proper practice will help us reach the goal quickly. Okay, just let's take a very simple example to clear this point. Let's check our life before we entered this domain of Krishna consciousness. Let's take our simple eating habits. Initially, at least, I don't know how many of you, but for me, eating onion, garlic was very prominent, was very natural and normal. If my mother cooked something without onion, garlic, I used to think, what is this? This is not natural. This is not normal. Even that fragrance was so arousing, and it was so, it gives so much of energy because we loved that thing. But now what has happened over the practice of years? Now that seeing that same onion garlic is no more tolerable. That means what? Mind and senses have the natural capacity to change the response. They can be tuned. They are changeable. Senses are changeable in nature. Otherwise, how it can happen that things that I liked previously, I don't like them anymore. Rather, I feel very bad when I see them. Because senses have this strength to capture new nature. What is the point we started? Nature, practice for new nature. So senses have that strength to capture new nature, higher or lower, as decided by the person. So point is, where is the contact of the senses happening? Where has it started from? Let's take this shloka from the first chapter of the sixth canto. 55th shloka. First chapter, 55th shloka. Very powerful shloka. And in one line, we can clear out what's happening. Now, this shloka is 6155. Esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya. Asit sa eva na chirat. Esha sangat viliyate. Now, there are two sanghas that are defined here. Esha prakriti sangena. There is sangha or association with the prakriti. Other side, there is Isha Sangha, last line. Prakriti Sangha creates a different effect. Isha Sangha creates a different effect. Now, since the living entity is associated with material nature, Now, what is his position? Purushasya vipariyaya. Vipariyaya means he's in a very awkward position. If in his human form of life, Prabhupada writes this, he is taught how to associate with the Isha Sangha, the Supreme Lord, or his devotees, viliyeta, viliyeta means he can overcome this awkward position very easily. Ashit eva nachirat. Nachirat means very quickly he can overcome this. Now, two words for the Purusha. Purusha is the living entity who has come here to enjoy. Now, why has he come here to enjoy? Now, Isha Prakriti Sangena. Okay. Two things. Prakriti Sangha, Isha Sangha. Prakriti is the material nature. How is that position? Viparyaya. Isha Sangha is the association of the Supreme Lord and devotees. Now, Prakriti Sangha has created one thing in the Jiva, that is forgetfulness. And that is his awkward position. But Isha Sangha, Viliyate, this can be vanquished, totally dissolved. Now, Prabhupada translates Isha Sangha as association with the Supreme Lord or his devotees. Now, Isha is supreme. Then why devotees? Prabhupada, why is Prabhupada bringing devotees when Isha has a very clear meaning of the supreme? As per Srila Prabhupada, Isha means supreme or his devotees. Why devotees? Because it is much easier and accessible to have association of devotees. So for physical practices, we have to have association as our prominent, as association of devotees has to be more prominent. So practice has to be in association of devotees only. Because as per the shloka, association with Prakriti or Ish will produce different results. Let's take two examples. Ajami. Association with parents and association with prostitute. Exact different. Now 6156, 14 qualities of Ajamil are given. I am he Shruti Sampanna, Shila, Vritta, Gunalaya, Dhritavritto, Mrudu, Danta, Satyavak, Mantravit, Shuchi, Guru, Agni, Atithi, Vriddhana, Sushrushu. He was always serving all these three. Anahankrita, Sarva Bhuta Surit, then Sadhu, Mitavag, Anusuyaka. 14 qualities of Ajamil. Why? Association of parents. What are the devotees of the Supreme Lord? Because Prabhupada, in one shloka, he mentions there, as I was recapping, going back through this shloka, Prabhupada mentions there that he indeed was a worshipper of Shaligram. Prabhupada writes this there because Prabhupada is quoting, Ajamil's time was the time when Shaligram worship was very prominent. So it can be taken into consideration that he also was worshipper of Shaligram. This is what Prabhupada mentions in his purpose. So 14 qualities. Now, how come a person who has 14 qualities which are so filled with divinity, how come suddenly in the 57th shloka, Drishtva tam kama liptena bahuna parirambitam jagama rishyavasham sahasaiva vimohita. How is that such a person who has such huge qualities just by seeing what is happening? Rishyavasham, that entity of lust which was hidden has now uncovered. Sahasaiva vimohita, and he got so badly illusioned or captured that he couldn't handle himself. Now question may arise, he saw just once, he had practiced for so many years, still how is it possible? You are speaking of practice, but his other side practice was so superior, he had just seen this once. Let's look at the word Rikshaya Vasham. Dormant, lusty desires in his heart were awakened. This is what Prabhupada writes. That means his previous practice, which was far more prominent from his previous life, was triggered and took over the current practice. Okay. Just like that famous example, Kunjara Shauchava. Elephant takes bath for 2 hours, full 100% bathing in the waters. 2 hours there. That's right. That's good. But 22 hours are on the land. We practice spirituality for 2 hours, but 22 hours, where are we investing? Which is more prominent? The prominent ones will surely make effect on the practice. His previous life impressions were triggered by that one event, and they came out so badly that it actually took over or covered the practices of this life. Let's take another example, Ahalya. Ahalya was in association of her divine husband. Association, on the contrary, she was also in association of Indra. Now you may say she met Indra only once. It's all right. But she was practicing in her mind, I am so beautiful, but nobody recognizes me. Nobody appreciates me. I am highly unappreciated. I am highly neglected. That was more continuous. And that one trigger of meeting with Indra triggered this entire thing. Look, I am so beautiful that even Indra falls for my beauty. It covered her entire practices of staying with her husband. So taking the association of devotee is very serious, and it is a sign of sincere practice. Yadus had casual approach to Krishna, which was reflected in casual approach in behavior with the devotees like Narada. They offended Narada. On the contrary, we see Narad Muni himself as a child took the association of the Bhaktivedantis very seriously, and he achieved Krishna in a very short time. On the contrary, the Yadus lost Krishna's association in very short time. That means what Prabhupada is writing, Isha Sangha or Isha Bhakta, is the same thing. They are not two different things. Okay. So Prabhupada, what is writing is absolutely perfect. Now in case of Ajamil, he was already chanting the names of Lord Hari. Didn't the Yamadutas recognize that he was already in Isha Sangha? Isha Sangha is even the name of the Supreme Lord is not different. So didn't they understand why he had to go through the entire event? Now, because the Yamdutas are speaking, chapter 1, 2, 3, Yamdutas are speaking that they know Dharma in and out. So didn't they understand that chanting the holy name of the Lord is Isha Sangha, also the association of the Supreme Lord? So in the third chakra of the sixth canto, Vishwanatha Chakravarti writes that this event of Ajamil is exclusively meant to show the glories of the holy name. And that glory will be reflected in the verdict of Yamaraj when he chastises the Yamdutas by saying who is the fit candidate to be brought to hell. That is where the glories of the holy name is extended to the best of its capacity. So Ajamil chanted the name even when he was filled with many desires, still he got the benefit. So what to speak, if one chants for the pleasure of the Lord, what will it produce? Now, we know that there are 64 limbs in our practice of bhakti, out of which five are more prominent. Sadhu, Sangha, Nama, Kirtan, Bhagavat, Shravan, Mathura, Vas, Shri Murti, Shraddhaya, Sevan. Okay, those are the five things that come. Now, out of this five, which is the most important? What are the five things we took? Sadhu, Sangha, Nama, Kirtan, Bhagavat, Shravan, Mathura, Vas, and Shri Murti means deity worship. Which is the most important? Most important amongst this is Sadhu, Sangha. Because if you don't have Sadhu, Sangha, you will not feel like performing Nama Kirtan. You will not feel like hearing Bhagavad Katha. You will not feel like visiting the places of the Supreme Lord where he has performed his Leela. You will not feel like worshipping the deities. But as soon as you come in Sadhu Sangha, all these things starts falling in place. So, the section where we started, association of devotees. Practices is where? In the association of devotees. So Sadhu Sangha is most important. Why? Because as soon as you come in Sadhu Sangha, all other folds will fall. So more Sadhu Sangha means other practices will also become more and more. So everything what we are practicing is based on principles. For example, Dhamvas. People feel that going in Vrindavan and staying in Vrindavan is Dhamvas. Let's understand principally. Mathura is not just a place. Okay? Prabhupada said, all my temples are Vaikuntha. What does this mean? Prabhupada frequently said this. He even quoted many times. It is a place where, by taking shelter of a pure devotee, we form a community which is centered around this Sri Vigraha of the pure devotee. And in that association, we worship the pure devotee and the Supreme Lord. Just like in temple, we have all ISKCON deities are not belonging to anybody else. They are Srila Prabhupada's own Vigraha. They only and only belong to Srila Prabhupada. That is why in every temple you see, Prabhupada is sitting right in front of the deities because they are Prabhupada's deities. And the place where the pure devotee and the deities of the pure devotees are worshipped and glorified, that place becomes Mathura Vas, that place becomes Dham. Why? Because that place is filled with the Ladini Shakti of the Lord, and the Ladini Shakti converts that ordinary place into Dham. Okay? Just like, if you see any corporate office or if you see a government office, it is also made up of rooms, walls, bricks, same thing. House also made up of walls, bricks, same thing. But if you hand over that, if somebody is staying in hall or in a house, if you hand over that house to a police station, now it doesn't remain a house, it becomes a police station. Because in that place, the laws of the court or police station are followed. That is why that place doesn't remain a house, it becomes a court or a police station. Now that house is no more a house. Why? Because the laws on which the police station functions are now applied in that place. Similarly, when the Ladini Shakti enters, seeing the pure devotee, that place becomes Mathura, and the place where the devotee stay becomes Mathura Vas. Okay. Same way, a devotee, just like he works whole day for the Lord, at the night he comes and take rest because that house is Mathura Vas, because the center of that house is a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and his personal deities, whom you are worshipping, or in temple we are worshipping. Just like birds, they entire day they roam here, there, evening they come and feel sheltered, ashray at their house. Similarly, whole day we work and come and rest at the house of a pure devotee. We have that shelter there. So even that house, Srila Prabhupada is worshipped, and the deities of Srila Prabhupada are worshipped, is not different from Mathura Vas. So everything is possible where there is association of devotees. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koe. Why so many times Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha? It's not just to create rhyming words, because there is actual glory in Sadhu Sangha, because sadhus, according to the shloka which we are taking, envious and non-envious, sadhus are absolutely non-envious. Now, in the association of devotees, there is a vidhi. Vidhi means there is a process. There is vidhi and nished. Nished means do's, don'ts, and vidhi means do's. Now, what is the don'ts here? The same point that is brought out in this shloka, in the 42nd shloka, the enviousness. When there is envy in the devotee community, then that is prakriti sangha. Then there is no more isha sangha. There is no more association of the Supreme Lord. That is Prakriti Sangha, and Prakriti Sangha means super duper enviousness has to be seen prominently. Now, how to deal with this envy while we are in the Prakriti Sangha? Because outside world we have to deal with, and there are envious people. Simple solution, we all know, I'll just repeat it as given in Srila Prabhupada by his purport, in his purport. 4834, Narad Muni speaks to Dhruva, Guna Adhika Mudam Lipset, Anukroshad Guna Dhamat. Maitrim samanadan vichet na tapair abhibhuyate. How can we deal with this envious people? Na tapair abhibhuyate. Without any anxiety, three things. Gunadikam, one who has quality superior to you. Mudam, you should become happy. Lipsed, you should feel. Prabhupada writes, you should feel. It should not be artificial. You should feel that. Anukrosham gunadhamat. When somebody has qualities lesser than you, you should feel anukrosham, compassion. Maitrim samanat, one who has equal qualities, you should feel friendly. Anvichat, you should desire. One should desire friendship with the person who has equal quality. Na abhibhuyate, is not affected. How? Tapair, by the tribulation, while dealing with these people outside. We came here in devotional service in Srila Prabhupada's court to become more happy. But we will become more happy only when we follow this principle. One who is more qualified in wealth, in knowledge, in qualities, we have to become happy, really, genuinely. Why and how? Because those qualities are coming from Krishna. And when we connect that person to Krishna, his qualities to Krishna, accepting him becomes very easy for me. seeing him prosper, I become easy, happy. So the first step that we have to do to overcome envy is start connecting the material qualities or the matter or whatever you feel that person has in superior with you. Start connecting it to Krishna. This is the easiest way. Because the Prakriti belongs to Krishna. It is Krishna's energy. I'll tell you a small story and then we'll end the session. Once when we all know Damodar Leela, Krishna hitting the butter pot. It's a daily affair most of the times for Krishna to do that. One day Yashoda Mai said, nothing doing. I will punish him badly now. And Krishna sees that his mother is chasing him with a rod. He is so afraid. He is running in Nanda Baba's Rajmahal. He comes out. He goes in the lawn. He is running. Yashoda Mai is following. He says, this lady won't spare me today. So his body is very flexible. He directly jumps on the wall. And from the wall, he crosses, jumps outside and runs in the open pastures. Now Yashoda Mai, she is very healthy. So for her, it takes time. She goes to the main gate and from the main gate, she enters the pastures. Now she enters the pastures and she starts finding. By the time what Krishna does is, he sees that now mother will come anytime. So she sees, what Krishna does is, he sees a person who has a huge pot. He has got that pot from Mathura to sell, got for some purpose. And he sees this huge pot. He sees that I can easily enter this pot and hide in that pot. Because that person is just sitting there because there's a huge pot. He has carried it from a long place. And is resting there. So Krishna, he says, can you help me? Krishna, you know, is very sweet looking and anybody can say yes. I mean, anybody can fall trap to him. So that person, he sees such a sweet child. He says, what do you want? He says, hide me here. The person says, why you want to hide here? And Krishna says, look, my mother is coming. She's chasing me and she'll hit me hard by that stick because I broke a butter pot. So that person, he sees, okay, you hide in this pot. But Krishna says, look, till the time she goes away, don't tell her that I'm here. And you don't speak to her too much. Just answer in some words. So Krishna enters that pot. He covers that pot. And now Yashoda Mai keeps coming. And she finds Krishna nowhere. And she sees that this person is sitting there in the pasture. And now, she cannot directly ask because he's not a person from her own community. So, but she feels that maybe he has seen him running somewhere. And she starts asking him, have you seen a child running here? So that person asks, which child? Now, Yashoda Mai is so angry. She's super angry because Krishna doesn't listen to her also. So she's super angry. Now what happens if she starts describing Krishna? Oh, that boy with curly hairs and a large forehead and beautiful eyes and teeth which look like pearls and his nose and his cheeks which are so pink in color. And she's describing Krishna in and out. And while describing, she is already in meditation on Krishna. And when she completely describes Krishna, her anger has already gone up. And the person who sees firsthand what happens to a person who describes Krishna Katha. She came in such anger and she's describing about Krishna and all her anger went away. Then Yashoda Mai is asking, did you see that child? He says, no, I don't know which child you are speaking about. And then Yashoda Mai, she throws her stick and it makes a huge sound, dhar, and she goes away. And as soon as Krishna understands, the stick is gone. He hears the sound and he hears that somebody is walking away. And after a few minutes, Krishna makes it point that Yashoda Mai is gone. And now he asks that, Baba, has my mother gone? And then that Baba says, yes, she's gone. And then Krishna says, get me out. Now that Baba is also very cunning. He understands that this boy, just by his beauty, a person can be mesmerized who was such angry, got away from his anger. Not only that, Mother Yashoda, in great separation, she is going away from there. Then that Baba says, I'll leave you, but you have to do one work for me. Now Krishna says, my God, he has started bargaining. Now Krishna has to come out because he has put that lid and he has covered that lid. So Krishna is bargaining with that Baba. What do you want? He says, look, I will let you out from this pot, but make sure that you also get me out of this material. Because he has understood, he is no ordinary child, he is the Supreme Lord. So then Krishna says, okay, I will liberate you from this material world. Then Baba says, then Krishna says, get me out. Then Baba says, no. See, alone it doesn't look good. Na? My family members also, you let them out of this material. Then Krishna says, okay, I'll take back also your family members back to my spiritual world. Now Krishna says, open this pot. Then Baba says, no, it doesn't look good. You see, and I'll go back to my village. All the people will ask, you are so selfish. You didn't think about us. You only thought about you and your family. And that Baba says, you deliver my whole community and my whole village. Then Krishna says, okay, I'll deliver everybody and anybody connected to you. Now, still that Baba is not happy. And that Krishna is asking. Okay, what do you want? That Baba is saying, answer one question. Krishna says, what? Who will be the cause of your deliverance or your liberation from this pot? So that then Krishna is saying, of course you, because of you only I will be getting out of this pot. Then Baba says, no, it's not me. It is this pot who caught you. And once this pot decides to get you out, you'll be out of this pot. So this pot is the cause of your deliverance. And Krishna thinks, wow, I got into the pot. And once I'm out of this pot, I'll be free. So the pot is also included there. And then Krishna is so happy. He says, yes, you're right. This pot is also very important for me to get out. Then Baba opens that lid and Krishna comes out. And as soon as Krishna comes out, Krishna hugs that pot. And he says, I will take this pot back with me. Then Baba is asking, what you will do with this pot? Then Krishna says to that Baba, when you'll return back to Golok Vrindavan with all your family and your community, you will see this pot before you in Golok Vrindavan. And he says, wow, is it? What you will do with this pot? Then Baba says to Krishna, I'll take this pot back in the spiritual world and I'll use it in my personal service. This is what Krishna says. The point is, just like even Krishna could connect to the pot which was made up of matter, once we start seeing Krishna, matter in connection with Krishna, things become very easy for me to connect to Krishna. And when it comes to devotees, we also have to connect devotees in relation to Krishna. Just like in NOI 5th sloka, we say, we see Krishna tiyas sigrata manasendriyeta dikshechit chet pranatibhischa bhajatam isham sushrushaya bhajanavigya mananyanyam ninda adi shunya. We should be connecting to whom? We should be connecting to a devotee who is sushrushaya, who hears a lot about Krishna. Bhajanavigyam is a vigya in bhajan, is expert in bhajan. Ananya anyam, and he's only and only worshipping Krishna. How is his heart? Ninda adi shunya ridamit sita sangalapta. Such a devotee's association we should seek. But what about the others with whom we feel that they are envious? Yasya giritam manasendriyeta. We have to bow down to them through our minds. Okay, this is what we have to be doing when we deal. And these are the devotees who will be helping us in all our journey in spiritual life. I'll end with one small story. This is a real story which took place in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. His Grace Ram Charan Prabhu, who is the in charge there in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, he was sharing his views on this thing. So once what happened was, a group of Chinese devotees came from China to Bhaktivedanta Hospital. And he got message that they would be coming, there. And he had to attend to all those devotees. So he said, okay, I'll be attending. But by then what happened, one lady who came, who was not a devotee, she, and she was in her last stages of cancer. So Ram Charan Prabhu had to attend to her as well because she was very critical. And she had come from a far off place. So when Ram Charan Prabhu came to understand that this lady has also to be taken care of and the devotees from China are also to be taken care of at the same time. So what he had to do was he had to take care of both the parties. And immediately when that lady came in, he started serving her because he understood that her health is very critical. Maybe she may live for hours or a day or two. And immediately he started serving, started giving her all the medication, whatever was possible to reduce her pain and so that she could focus on Krishna. And suddenly message came that devotees from China are there in the hospital. Now it was a tough time because he had to handle this lady also and the group of devotees. So immediately what he did, he left that lady and he rushed to the devotees who had come from China. And as soon as he reached the devotees, he asked them, he welcomed them, he gave them a warm welcome. And then he asked them, what would you like to, like me to do here? Would you want me to show you the entire hospital? Or would you like to perform some practical service? So all the devotees, they shouted, we want practical service. So he was so happy. So he took the entire group of Chinese devotees to that lady's room. And as soon as they reached that lady's room, she started gasping for breath. And then the devotees saw that she was in a very difficult situation. So immediately Ram Charan Prabhu told the lady devotees from China that you please take charge of her. So one Chinese devotee, lady devotee, she took her head and kept on her lap. Other two lady devotees, they took one hand each and they started massaging her hand so that she could feel very nice. And the other group of devotees, they started chanting Sankirtan for that lady. So that lady became so peaceful at that point of time, was gasping for breath. She became so peaceful all of a sudden because of the Chinese ladies devotees who were giving her that support, and she could hear the holy name. And in that peaceful condition, that lady left her body. It was such a surprise for Ram Charan Prabhu. He said, I never could have imagined this devotee, this lady who came from nowhere out of blues. And at the end part of her life, Krishna arranged everything for that lady, everything. Her passing was so smooth. She was so calm. And in the hearing the holy name, she left her body. The point is, however the devotee may be, we don't know his background. So that empathy we should have for devotees. And we need to give every devotee time to change. Even Prakash Ananda Saraswati was such a great sannyasi. Initially was criticizing Lord Chaitanya left, right, center. Lord Chaitanya gave him time to settle down. Lord Chaitanya gave him his association and that entire thing changed. The entire group of sannyasis became devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Yes, we have envy in our hearts, but we also need that time and space to cover up. So let's not judge devotees because he has envy or she has envy, he has lust or she has lust. We need our time, we need our space because we never know what the background is. So let's help each other to recover from this disease of envy so that someday we can see Krishna face to face in the association. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava.
Hare Krishna Mataji, we can't hear you speak.
Yeah, we can't hear you. No.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. always very obvious that it's very important to cultivate our informal consciousness. Instead of telling that we don't know what is your background. So,
yeah, your voice is low, very cut. I can't hear it.
Thank you so much. I was just telling it was very nice hearing the pastime. It was real-time pastimes. It was, I completely understood that it is very important to cultivate our inner consciousness.
Yes.
We don't know what is the background of each and every soul. Everyone are ultimately going to go back to Godhead. It's just a matter of time. So we are able to see that and remember that every time. Again, a blessing. There is one, right? I will ask Kalani to you can ask your question.
Thank you very much, Mataji. And then the pranam to all devotees and Prabhuji. I have a small question, Prabhuji. When Prabhupada Maharaj writes that, you know, when you envy others, you are also doing self-envy. So I was asked this question and I could not satisfactorily explain. So I'm just asking how envy of others is self-envy as well. So could you please enlighten us on that, please?
Yeah. Envy with others is self-envy. First point is because envy is not the natural quality of the soul. First thing. Second thing, we envy somebody else because we see that he has something better than me and I want that thing. Maybe post or whatever we can think about it. But the last point that we took, we have to connect all this material things, places or qualities to Krishna because they are Krishna's qualities that are reflected in that devotee. Just like a diamond can reflect light because it is not its own quality. It has taken that from sun. So anything that shines, the quality is coming from sun. Similarly, anything that we see here in any devotee, maybe he is a devotee or maybe he is not a devotee, it is nothing but the qualities of Krishna that are reflecting in him. So when we envy others, we are envying Krishna. Directly or indirectly, whatever you consider, because that is envying Krishna. And envying Krishna is not the natural quality of the soul. And that quality is harmful. And that is why he is hurting himself more than he is hurting others. That is how it works.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
There are no more hand raised, Prabhuji. So, we will end the conversation. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for also that Yashodama is the first time. It was, if I am hearing for the first time, it was very, very, very heart touching. So, you took us very close to Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Blessings to all wonderful devotees, especially Lilita Mataji, Dinbandhu Prabhu, always there. Seeing them is reminding me of Srila Prabhupada's presence. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Kapita Naam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Yuta Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Radhe, Kumar Kaura Prabhuji ki jai.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much.
Nithyananda. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Our association. Hare Krishna.
Nithyananda. Beautiful class. So grateful.
Gauranga.
Radhe, Radhe.
Thank you so much.
Radhe, Radhe.